Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action. It's Thursday, March 7th. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter. I think you missed episode 28.
Oh, I stopped doing the episodes a couple of times ago. I mean, so many.
Yeah.
But that's correct. Episode 28.
And the first one of March. This is high season for us basketball fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So any exciting action this past weekend for you?
I can't think of anything. No, I slept since then. Watched a lot of college hoops.
Uh-huh.
Went out a little bit and checked out some of the breweries here in Westtown.
Oh, nice.
Bounced around a little bit. Caught the Utah State Nevada game. That was on my agenda. So okay. That was about it. How about yourself?
Yeah, it was a low-key weekend. Didn't do much. Trying to gear up. We're going to have a lot of events, as we talked about. We're trying to retouch on those next week, a week from today. That's the 14th of March, Thursday. We're going to be meeting at Green Street Local.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do a little pre-action for the Big Ten tournament and kind of the conference tournament recap. Sounds like we might have an interview that we can insert on that episode.
Yeah, we got an interview lined up with Mr. Halftime Bets. He's a buddy of mine who created an algorithm to do second half NCAA tournament wagering. So.
Yeah, and this guy puts the stuff on Twitter. You can win some money in addition to Action's picks. So that's great. And then in two weeks from today, the big NCAA tournament starts, not just the first four. That's the 21st of March on Thursday. We're going to be at the Four Shadows at 10 a.m., bright and early. Come out there. The bar is going to be open. We're going to take over that place and watch the college basketball all day. So it should be a great time.
Yeah, Fran McCaffrey might join us too, considering he won't be coaching likely.
Is he going to be fired because he cursed out that ref? That's good.
I don't know. They could miss the tournament, perhaps. Oh. I don't expect that will happen in reality.
But. I'm sure that they would love to have Framick. It is a big Iowa bar there at the Four Shadows, but all different types of teams are welcome there.
Of course.
And then lastly, a little plug for the Wegs pool. That's my NCAA basketball pool. I've got 39 registered already. We'll probably get up to about 140. We'll be having our party on the Sweet 16 Friday night. Back at the Four Shadows, so and come on out.
What's the buy-in for the Wegs pool?
It's a big $10, but okay. Usually win about $900 first place. So, and more importantly, if you come in last, you get a T-shirt, and you're infamous for life.
I hope that's not me.
No, it won't be you. Okay, let's recap this entire episode. We really heavily college-focused, but we'll review our head-to-head from last week, episode 27. There is a little bit of mailbag information here, talking about how we can wager on the NCAA tournament. Then we'll talk majorly on college hoops. We've got some recap, some games, talk about some of our metrics, and then jump into some of the tournament action. We got a lot of great small tournaments starting this week in Champ Week, and then spots that we like during this weekend as well. So we have one nugget on the NBA to touch on, and then two MLS games that you like, and then we'll do our head-to-head for the week. So not quite as long of an episode, is it, Action?
We'll find out here towards the end.
All right. Well, let's start off with the head-to-head. The first game was Kentucky at Tennessee. Tennessee were two-point favorites at home. I saw it as a bounce-back spot, and looks like Kentucky saw that too. They decided not to show up like they did the first time and got crushed 71-52. What did you see in that one, Action?
Yeah, I was definitely on the wrong side of this one from the jump. I think that the loss of Reed Travis didn't play, as we mentioned last week, was big for the Wildcats, and they just didn't have the same inside presence that they did in the first game.
True.
Jordan Bone was on fire, too. That certainly didn't help my bet at all. He scored a career-high 27 points, and Tennessee routed them.
Yeah, it looks like Tennessee decided to start playing basketball again the last week or so. So maybe they are back to that near number one form for the seeds. They're going to be duking out with Kentucky and probably need to beat them in the tournament to secure that number one seed.
Yeah, the SEC tournament's one that I'm definitely looking forward to. LSU has been playing some great basketball as well.
Yeah, they might be the number one overall seed, actually, because they're definitely going to share the number one first place anyway. Okay, the next game was the Orlando Apollos, my Apollos, laying 4.5 on the road at Salt Lake, the Stallions. And guess what, man? This is the only undefeated team in the AAF.
Yeah. They're legit, man. I did not catch this game. I was hoping to catch a little bit of it, but yet again, I don't think I've watched 1 minute of an AAF game. But the Apollos were awesome, as I read. It was a driving snowstorm out there in Salt Lake City, which pounded the West all weekend, and they were able to get the win and the cover 20-11.
Yep.
I think their offense was just phenomenal. They were scoring on the ground and through the air and just points aplenty. Garrett Gilbert has 1,071 passing yards now through four games, which is highest in the league.
Yeah, I think that obviously Spurrier has something working here, but we'll see. They did – I mean, obviously it was a snowstorm that kept them down with the 20 points. But they seem to be the only team in the entire league to score points. Everybody else, these are record low totals despite those rule changes we talked about compared to the NFL. So we'll see how it goes going forward. The next game were the Zags. The Zags were laying 12 points at St. Mary's. And I thought that St. Mary's was going to show up. But, you know, they played okay. It was better in the first half. But in the end, and as you noted, the line actually went to -9 for the Zags before the game. But these Zags cannot be stopped. I mean, they won 69-55. And to be honest with you, in the second half, they just kind of destroyed them down the stretch.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed in myself, had some no-bet regret because I had picked this line out at 12 on our podcast last week, and then I saw it opened at 8 and closed at 9, and I failed to bet on Gonzaga. But that's okay. They ended up winning the game by 14 and covered twice for me here and in real life. And they were up 36-34 at halftime, and Josh Perkins and Brandon Clark stepped up big in the second half and went on a huge run, and they ended up winning the game by 14, as we mentioned. Hachimura had a big game as well, 17 points, and Clark had 15 with four block shots. Their defense was awesome, too. They only allowed 86 points per 100 possessions by the Gales, and I think that's really the one unsung part about this team is that they're playing some really good defense, and we'll talk about this later. They've now jumped Duke in my power ratings for the number one team in the country.
Whoa, this just in, a little bit of a tease. All right, well, let's talk about our last game, Michigan at Maryland. Michigan was, they were laying 1 point on the road, and we talked about this game quite a bit. I really like Bruno, Fernando and all, but actually Iggy came through and played big against them, and actually Teske played well as well in the middle.
Yeah, Michigan was pretty awesome on Sunday. How about the kid Xavier Simpson with his hook shots? Did you see those?
I guess he's got this little baby hook working now. I guess to his right hand. I've heard about it. I don't trust it, but it got him the win, 69-62. You can't really complain. So.
Yeah, outside of that, Iggy Brazdeikis was awesome too, 21 points. And the big man Teske had 11 points and 10 rebounds as they pulled away from Maryland in the last couple of minutes. It was close throughout the second half. I know. The Wolverines just kind of pounded them into submission, and their typically poor free throw shooting didn't really rear its head this game as they shot 87% from the line.
That's getting it done. Absolutely. So another split for us. That's kind of what we've been doing the last few weeks.
Yeah,
but I'm keeping you at bay. Keeping you at bay. All right. So the mailbag question is, you know, what are the different ways to gamble on the NCAA tournament? So why don't you start off with that and I'll jump in.
Yeah, I think everyone is probably aware of the standard NCAA tournament bracket pool that you can enter, as you talked about earlier. The Weggs pool is one of my favorites. And that's pretty simple. You fill out the bracket and score points based on the round. The points go up as the rounds increase, and then the winner take all at the end.
That's right. That's right. That's one way to go. Obviously, my pool is just two bonus points for the lower seed winning. There's other ones that have multipliers, which are kind of interesting. I don't. It's harder to fathom, you know, one times a 16 if they win, so it's a 16-point game. But that's one way to go. I've heard of another one that you don't have listed here so far. Oh, no, you have it right here, team selection. So this is where you – a team selection or a draft of teams where you actually pull the names out of a hat and maybe it's a little bit more money usually because it's less people, and essentially the team that wins the title, you get the money in the end. So that's another way to go.
I've also heard of a cool bracket format where it's ATS actually. So you get teams in a bracket similarly to the team selection pools. Okay. And then if your team covers ATS, even if they lose, you advance to the next round and you just assume the identity of the team that wins the game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
See if they advance again. That's cool. So then you also have future wagers, and we were mentioning before the pod pre-discussion that there's a lot of different props out there for futures. You can bet on how many number ones are going to make the Final Four, and there's plus money on you know, obviously if all four make it, that's kind of the toughest thing. But there's also, you know, for three making it, there's some good money. But two is kind of the safe value. I think I heard it was plus 180 or something for two to make it. And then for one, there's actually good value there too. So there's also for certain teams, obviously, to win the title. There's also, I heard that you can bet on how many teams at a lower seed will advance in the first round. And I think I heard it was 7.5 teams, you know, the plus minus on that. So, you know, in years past, you know, that's the number right on there. Seven to eight usually advance in that first round. So it's another way to go.
And the 12 seeds. I know you mentioned historically the 12 over 5 upset has been one of the most prolific in the tournament.
It has.
And you can probably lay a minus number to have a 12 seed win a first round game.
Yeah, it's like minus 250 or something like that. But I mean, you know, I think it was last year, the year before, a 12 did not advance. So you can get some plus money sometimes too.
Yeah, or like myself, you can bet your cousin against Duke and take the field. Reminder, Mikey, I'll be collecting my $100 sometime in April.
He went all in on that one. I was there. I was there when it happened. So tell me about this Calcutta-style auction.
Yeah, this is one that I've been getting into the last couple of years, and it's similar to the team selection pools where you start out with an empty bracket, and typically you have 8 or 10 teams or groups of players who team and pool their money together, and it's an auction-style draft.
Okay.
So
kind of like fantasy football.
Depending on the capital that gets put into one of these Calcutta pools, the prices can grow really fast, especially when you get into the top four seeds in each region. The values on those go very quickly into the high numbers. And because the payouts are correlated based on how far your team advances in the tournament, and obviously the national champion scoops the largest percentage of the pot, but every Calcutta is broken up differently in terms of the percentage of pay based on how far a team advances.
Why do they use the term Calcutta?
That is a good question that I don't know.
Okay. I've heard that term before, not necessarily for the tournament, but it must be a way. I've heard that before for some reason in other things.
Something to research and we'll answer it next week.
And then the other pool that's really popular around here is the player pools, which I've been, I don't know, the last 3-4 years. I think I won last year.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, it was great. And it's a really cool. It's a cool pool where, how many guys do it? 10?
I've got 10 guys in our pool. And we go through and do a snake draft similar to fantasy football of just scorers in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And the highest points output wins.
That's right. And it's really an interesting kind of exercise, at least I've done it the last couple years, where you try to figure out the expected number of games the team is going to win to kind of multiply, that's why I do it, multiply it by the, you know, the guy's scoring average. And it's very interesting in these drafts because obviously the teams, the number one seeds and the two seeds get all those guys get picked really clean. The first couple of years, I kind of made the mistake of picking guys that maybe they had really high scoring averages, but they were only around for a game or two.
Yeah, like Chris Clements.
Chris Clements, there you go. He's your guy. But it can factor in if they're a first four guy, because we usually do the draft on like a Tuesday or something.
Right. Yep.
So those Wednesday games count. So you got it. There's some strategy there, but it's a really cool format and it's fun. It's a fun group.
Yeah, I enjoy the player pool. It's one of my favorite ways to wager on the tournament. But with all the different varieties, there's a lot of different ways you can get your money down and hopefully be profitable throughout the month of March.
Now, we kept you from going to Vegas the first week of the tournament. We're going to do our live event, but I know you've been out there, you know, in a sports book for 3 days or 4 days. What's it like when you go out there?
Vegas for opening weekend of March Madness is a wild time. Definitely one of my favorite times to be out there. Everyone's just very into college basketball. You'll see people walking around the strip with their team logos on and supporting their team, or in some cases supporting their team even if they're not in the tournament.
Nice.
Like one unfortunate Kentucky fan years ago. But it's a good time. There's a lot going on, certainly lots of commotion on the strip and lots of gambling going on the tables as well as sports games.
They love March Madness for that. So they're making the auxiliary money on the tables and
absolutely
blackjack and stuff. So that's great. I have not done it. I would like to do it at some point, so maybe next year. But okay, well, we're going to skip the AAF portion this week. We kind of mentioned it briefly already. jump right into college hoops with Champ Week. So it looks like we had another good weekend. We went 7-3 this weekend on our picks. Awesome.
Yep. Well done to us on the picks. We were very profitable. Can remember a few winners off the top of my head, but there was one loser last week that was bad, and that's the Washington Huskies. Washington Huskies.
My Washington Huskies are failing me. Come on, Ridgeway. Get
they
after
lost
them.
To winless Cal on Thursday night. Was very shocking upset.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I mean, obviously, Washington has got this kind of interesting defense. They're playing the zone. But Cal has sucked all year, so I guess that was their Final Four game, and they got it done.
Yeah, they sure did. And Washington went on the road Saturday night then to Stanford and played poor again.
Mm-hmm.
They did end up winning that game by a point or two, but last two games haven't played very well. And then last night, I know you and I were on them, and they failed to cover again at home versus Oregon State.
Yeah, so they were our kind of darlings. They were kind of, 7-8-0, 10-0 for a while, and now they're kind of falling back to earth. I still think they'll be a tough out in the tournament because mm-hmm. of that zone, but you got to be wary a little bit in the conference tournament if you're betting on them because they're not the greatest road team. They're a much better home team, and they even lost the home. They didn't cover last night, so I'm definitely looking at that.
That's an excellent point. That Pac-12 tournament could be wide open. You could find a dark horse there and really find some value in the tournament futures market.
Absolutely. So you've mentioned it. I've been talking about them. The Wofford Terriers, man, this team is legit. They are way up there in KenPom, if you've noticed, in the net rankings. They are actually, they've surpassed Buffalo, if you notice that kind of thing.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they're actually ahead of Buffalo. Buffalo was kind of, you know, the darling of the mid-majors. They're at 23, and Wofford's now at 20 in KenPom, and so this team is just destroying people. They beat Chattanooga by 26. You noted they beat Samford by 21. They're ending the SoCon tournament on fire. You got them at 7-5 favorites for the tournament, huh?
Yeah, 7-5. And then I mentioned just before we jumped on here, I actually found them at plus 105 at five dimes last night and hopped on that one as well. I had already bet them at 7-5, so took a lower number there. But I think that this Wofford team is probably going to run through that Southern Conference tournament and on their way to the NCAA tournament and may actually be a top seed, whether that's 8 or 7 is yet to be determined.
Yeah, I think that most of the guys, Jerry Palm and Lenardi, do have them at the 8 line or higher. So you're right on that one. How about this other team that, I don't know, I used to like them, St. John's. They stink. You're mentioning about Xavier getting on the bubble, but I'm talking about how St. John's has just been sucking it.
Yeah, St. John's has really taken a step back, but this Xavier team has really thrown themselves back into contention with a couple of huge wins recently.
Mm-hmm.
They beat St. John's on the road and then Seton Hall on the road and also have a couple of home wins over Villanova in the last week or so.
They could be on the edge. I think they're in the next four category for Lenardi. I don't think they're going to make it, but, you know, if they make a run in the tournament, we'll see. Because I don't know if you have the note here, but Marquette is also – we've been talking about fading Marquette,
mm-hmm.
even though they were so dominant ATS for a while. They've actually lost three straight up.
Yeah, speaking of another conference tournament that's going to be wide open, the Big East too, Villanova is on a decline as well, mm-hmm. which I think it's something we'll be talking about later in the show.
That's right. All right, lastly, Utah State. This is the shot. The Aggies shot her around the world. They beat Nevada. This was a great game, except apparently in the handshake line, there was something said, and then the court storming, and Jordan Caroline, punched the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, after the game, the Nevada team was a little bit irate about the court storming and felt like that the home Utah Aggies police and mm-hmm. force didn't really protect them from the fans, and Caroline was incensed on his way back to the locker room. It looked like he wanted to murder somebody in there, and hopefully his wrist is okay because mm-hmm. he certainly threw a punch right through the fire extinguisher glass.
Yeah, he broke it. There's speculation there was some, you know, dropping of the N-word or something like that. There was some racial epithets there. But you got to keep your cool. I mean, this is the thing. Like, Utah is actually playing really well. They're a team that I really like in the tournament. Unfortunately, for me, like, it looks like Lenardi and Palm like that too. They're up to like the nine seed line.
Yeah.
I was hoping they'd be like one of those 12-13s we could take advantage of. And they still can win, and maybe they won't be favored, but they're playing great basketball. But Nevada, I don't know what's going on with this team. They're the same team. They're just kind of, I don't know, stale right now.
Yeah, and then they failed to get a cover earlier this week again at on the road at Air Force.
That's right.
The Mountain West tournament is going to be interesting. That one's in Las Vegas this week as well.
Yeah, I think there's three or four tournaments in Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. All right, and the last comment you have is Indiana. This team baffles me. I mean, I don't want them in the field, no offense, but they did. They took out Michigan State this week. They won over Wisconsin. Who is this team?
Yeah, they've been Jekyll and Hyde all year. They started out very hot with a couple of huge wins over Marquette and Louisville, as well as Butler, but then faded right there in the middle of the Big Ten season. And they got themselves back on that bubble line as well, mm-hmm. with huge wins over Wisconsin and Michigan State, which is now their second over the Spartans.
Mm-hmm. And they swept them.
Their defensive performance in that second half was incredible. They held Michigan State to 25 second half points and only 101 offensive rating for the game. And unsung hero was Justin Smith, who stepped up and had 24 points, shooting 3 out of 6 from the 3-point line, which is well above his career average.
Yeah, he made it rain. We'll see if Indiana's going to make it. I don't know. I think they're going to have to win some games in the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. And if they do, then they can make a case. We'll see. They're very inconsistent. But you're right. Their defense is actually really good. Their rating in KenPom's much higher than I expected. So they can do it. And there's a lot of teams that don't score well right now. You know, you mentioned Michigan State. You know Michigan doesn't score. Purdue does. But there's other teams that are – I mean, Nebraska's sucking. They can definitely win some games in a tournament.
Yeah, and this is a team I'm going to be looking to play under, especially when they get here down the street to the United Center. Historically, that Big Ten tournament has extremely low scoring, and the neutral court venue just adds to that.
So. Mm-hmm. Right down the street. All right, let's quickly go over our metrics. I just kind of want to mention again, this is very similar to most weeks. The overrated teams per the AP against KenPom, Marquette, we've talked about them before. They're 16th in the AP, and they lost again. This came out, the AP came out before they lost again. Mm-hmm. But they're 28th in KenPom. Central Florida peaked up to 25 in the AP. I think they're a pretty good team, but they're 35th in KenPom. Another really good defensive team, not great offensive team. Cincinnati, these two teams actually are facing off tonight. Cincinnati's 20th in the AP and 31st in KenPom. And then you mentioned Villanova slipping. It's showing. They're 23rd in the AP, but they're 27th in KenPom. I don't see any of those teams that they should really be in the top 25. I mean, Marquette's had a good season, but if you look at the ratings, that they shouldn't.
Yep, I'm in full agreement there. One team that I'm keeping my eye on is UCF. Mm-hmm. I've only seen them play once or twice this year, but they have Taco Fall, which is just kind of a game changer with his size in the middle. So I'm interested in watching them over the next week or so.
We'll see how they do it. The underrated teams, which I got to be honest with you, this is kind of a hold-your-nose group. Iowa State, who they stink right now. So they, I'm saying they're underrated, but without Shayok in the lineup, they just got crushed. What was it, last night?
Yeah, West Virginia.
They're 28th in the AP, but they're 18th in KenPom. That's a fall. They used to be up like 12, 13. Now, Auburn's been playing pretty good. They're 26th in the AP, but 14th in KenPom. Mississippi State, they're just hanging tough like they've always been doing. 27th in AP and 22nd in KenPom. And then Louisville. I don't know what to say about this team. This team can't win. They actually moved up a couple slots in KenPom to 21 and 32nd in the AP. I would fade that team for sure. The last things I wanted to talk about were what I'm going to characterize as my Road Warriors. And to me, when I'm looking at these Road Warriors, why is that important? For me, that's they're good on the road and then also at neutral sites. So in the last 8 games, North Carolina 7-1 against the number, and that's fantastic. That's about as good as it comes.
Yep.
LSU was also 7-1 and with that big overtime win last night. Virginia's 7-2 on the road. Kansas State 7-2, and then there they are, the Wofford Terriers at 5-0 in the last 5. The teams to fade, Kansas were 1-6 on the road in their last 7, and Buffalo 2-6, which to me does not bode well for the tournament. Everybody's big on Buffalo, but I would watch them because they're not that great away from home. And the last ones are the home cooking teams, and this is good maybe for the next couple days because the rest of it's going to be neutral sites.
Right.
Purdue 7-1, Kentucky 7-1, Nevada 5-1, Washington 5-1. That includes last night's when they didn't cover.
Cover.
And then this is the worst team. The team to fade at home is Florida 0-8.
That's incredible.
It's crazy, right?
How do you not cover a single conference game at home? It's just nuts.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, what are we looking with the action index?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Gonzaga has now jumped the Blue Devils, which the eye test tells me the same. This Gonzaga team has beaten their conference opponents by an average of 27 points year long. Mm-hmm. And Duke nearly lost at home to Wake Forest.
They should have won. Did you see that? Well, we were actually texting. That ball was hanging in the rim, just bounced out.
I thought it was in for sure.
You know, Wake Forest hasn't won since Tim Duncan was there.
Wow, that's a long time.
Incredible.
So, I mean, it's clear Duke is just not the same team without Zion, and now it sounds like he's going to be out this weekend against North Carolina. And right. I don't really see any reason to bring him back in the conference tournament either. They're going to play potentially three games in 3 days. You think Zion and his knee is going to be ready for that? I sure don't.
It did sound like Coach K... It's obviously Zion, it's up to him. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. He basically said he couldn't go, which is weird. I'm sure he wants to play, but they're being really careful with him, understandably so. I hope we see him in the tournament, because if they don't, and the other thing is, I don't want them to spring this on us when I fill up my bracket. Tell me before I fill up my bracket.
Yeah. I heard some interesting discussion on a radio that perhaps this is all tied to a prospective future shoe deal. Because now, as an amateur, if he goes back and plays in the Nike shoes, then Nike's going to have a little bit of leverage over him. But if he holds out for the season and doesn't play again, mm-hmm. and then goes pro and he's looking for that huge shoe deal, he could have some leverage to say, hey, you know, I'm looking to move on from Nike. What can you pay me?
Wow. I mean, obviously it's in play. I mean, it's got to be in play. That shoe exploded in front of our eyes. So,
all right. Number three is the Virginia Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. Got to be one of my dark horses to win the national championship with the way Kyle Guy is shooting the ball and Ty Jerome as well.
Yep.
North Carolina slots in at 4.
Yep.
Followed by Michigan State, 5. Kentucky and Tennessee are 6 and 7. Those two teams just can't separate themselves.
Nope.
Texas Tech is number 8. Mm-hmm. And two Big Ten teams, Michigan and Purdue, round out the top 10.
Yeah, it's really close to Ken Pom. I think the team that I'm interested in, especially come the seeding and the bracket, is Texas Tech. This team is playing way better offensively. Mm-hmm. And if they score, they're going to win because the team's defense is incredible. I love the top four teams in this group, assuming Zion's back. And then after that, it's kind of it's open game there. So you wanted to note, I guess you got Nevada down to 21.
Yep. And the rest of the mid-majors are right there, too. Mm-hmm. Houston's 12, Buffalo coming in at 13, and the Wofford Terriers at 17 on my rankings.
There you go. There you go. We wanted to do a quick recap of our Final Four picks before we get to there.
Are you sure we have to do this?
Yeah, we got to do it. We could do actions first.
Yeah. Mine are not looking so hot right now. I had Nevada, Kansas, Kentucky, and Michigan State. Two of these four teams have suffered some major injuries. Yeah. Kansas lost Azubuike, and then Michigan State lost guard Josh Langford, and now they're without Ward in the middle. So,
I had Duke, Kentucky, Gonzaga, and I also had Nevada. So personally, I'd swap out Virginia for Nevada, and I'd be comfortable with those four. What would you obviously would swap out Kansas, right?
First. Yeah, I would definitely drop Kansas. I still like Kentucky, and I think that Michigan State could make a run, too. Mm-hmm. Cassius Winston has been pulling the strings for that team, and he could just carry any team to a Final Four. Mm-hmm. But I also would drop Nevada out of there. I just don't think that they have the horses for it. Right. I would like to slide in Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. And then I think that Virginia, I'm with you there. I think that they have the horses to make it to this Final Four this year.
One team I'm going to be really interested in the seeding, we'll talk more about this maybe, a couple weeks, but this LSU team can win, man. Mm-hmm. And they've got the guard to prove it. They got the size, and they're coming out. I mean, they're the first place team in the SEC, and they've won. They went undefeated on the road in the SEC. That's impressive.
It is impressive. My problem with them is they are so young. They have so many freshmen on that team and sophomore players that playing in March is a whole other animal, and I just don't see them making a long run.
And Will Wade just came up in the news, apparently, for this FBI investigation. Mm-hmm. So there's some hearing on April 20th. So that may cloud things and distract people. So who knows? All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the conference tournaments. You've already put a wager in on Arch Madness, the Missouri Valley, which is going to take place in St. Louis starting, I guess it's today?
Yep, first round started today, and then we've got the quarterfinals tomorrow at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. And the tournament favorite is the Loyola Ramblers, mm-hmm. which actually won it last year, if you recall.
Sister Jean.
They're plus 170. And then, surprisingly, I still can't figure out how this happened, Southern Illinois is the second favorite at plus 350 in this league. My pick, Drake, the Drake Bulldogs are in at 600 in third. Mm-hmm. And then Missouri State is plus 700, followed by Bradley and Northern Iowa coming in at plus 1,200.
You've noted this before. Drake is a cover machine. They're 23-6 against the number this year. And they're tied for first. So they, you know, I don't know if they're the one seed or the two seed, but they're definitely right up there. So plus 600 is phenomenal.
Yeah, they did tie for first in the league with Loyola and were lucky to pull out the two seed, in my opinion, because they are down in the weaker half of the bracket. Mm-hmm. They finished the league tied with Loyola 12-6, but they have a much superior 23-8 overall record. Mm-hmm. And I just think they're being totally disrespected by the odds makers. Mm-hmm. They did lose their starting point guard and best player, Nick Norton, early in January, but they still have found ways to win without him this season. Hmm. The big man, Nick McGlynn, is a force inside and averages nearly 16 points and 8.5 rebounds per game. Now, they do have a very tough matchup tomorrow against Illinois State, likely.
Redbirds.
Presuming Illinois State wins tonight in the quarters, which is a team that they lost to twice during conference play. Hmm. But I expect this team will get it right, and they've got a guard, Brady Ellinson, who shoots 48% from the three-point line. And I think if they can get past that Illinois State game, they can make a nice run to the finals, where they'll probably face off against Loyola.
That's right. So I know they lost to the Redbirds because that was the bet I lost.
Oh, yeah. The one Drake that you lost.
The one out of six that they didn't cover. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, Arch Madness is always exciting. In the WEGS pool, I wrote up some of the small conference tournaments. And one thing I will say, Missouri Valley has always produced really good teams in the tournament. So Arch Madness itself is really fun, but these teams are very competitive. So, I mean, Drake, I would love to see them break through. Obviously, the local, Loyola, I'm going to root for them too. But mm-hmm. But a Drake-Loyola final on Sunday at 105 Central on CBS would be great to see.
Well, I'll be posting up in my recliner for that one.
Well, let's talk about some of these other tournaments. You've mentioned the Ohio Valley in the past. They have two great teams in that conference. They're going to actually match up likely on Saturday night, and that's Murray State against Belmont. Belmont's actually sneakily really good in the metrics as well. They're actually better than Murray State. I heard kind of a statistic here that they have like six different guys that are shooting over 37% from three-point land. Huh. So it makes them really dangerous. But we all know that Ja Morant is on Murray State, so that should be an excellent matchup on Saturday night.
Yeah, and this tournament, I have my eye on a futures bet with Jacksonville State, actually.
Okay.
This team has some bigs inside, which really kind of is an off-putting matchup for both the top contenders, Belmont and Murray.
Okay.
And I got them at 9-1 pre-tournament. I don't know if that number's still available considering they've already made it to the quarterfinals in this tournament.
Right.
But another point I'll add about this one is it is at a neutral site, which is kind of unorthodox for some of these smaller conferences. But
right.
They're playing at the gym in Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the Purple Aces. Yeah, that one will be on ESPN2, 7 o'clock Central on Saturday. Another one, we'll save the Big South Championship for a head-to-head. Mm-hmm. We like those teams in that one. The Atlantic Sun has a couple of great teams, too. And one of the darlings in KenPom, it's at least in the top 50, is Lipscomb. Lipscomb's been a really good team, the Bison. But they've actually lost to Liberty, and Liberty's been, you know, I guess they're a new entrant in the Atlantic Sun. Maybe I'm wrong with that.
I think that sounds right.
But they came in, and they've been duking it out with Lipscomb all year. This will be another Sunday tilt, 2 o'clock on ESPN. You have any leanings in those games?
Well, I mean, Lipscomb is obviously the class of this league, but mm-hmm. I do agree that Liberty, if you were to try to pick a team that is a little bit further down on this list, I think that Liberty would be the choice. However, I don't see them losing to Lipscomb.
Yeah,
I don't see
Lipscomb losing to Liberty. Yeah, I think that's right, but we'll see what happens. The Bison, I don't think they're going to get an at-large bid if they lose, whereas Wofford, which I guess we can talk about that again next with the Southern, I think they would. You know, they're different ratings and also the wins. So let's roll right into the SoCon. I know you said Wofford's the team to beat, which they are, But, you know, you've got Furman in that group, which, you know, had that big win early in the year. UNC Greensboro's ratings are excellent. Furman beat Villanova early in the year. So I know you're Wofford all the way, but you might get some value with a Furman or UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, I mean, those two teams are plus 570 for Greensboro, and you can get Furman at plus 330. So you could really take a crack at either of them, being the 2 and 3 seeds, presuming that one of them will obviously likely get to the final with Wofford and East Tennessee State on the other side of the bracket. So perhaps if you pick the right one or pick them both and get to the conference final, and then you have a chance against Wofford to get some plus money payouts.
That's right. So you want to just walk us through how you would hedge that? You did that the other day. We talked it through on a different game. So how would you do that? Let's say you did the biggest number, UNC Greensboro. They're plus 570 and they get to the title game. So how would you hedge that?
Yeah, so some of these smaller conference tournaments, and really the major ones as well, I try to pick out some value of a team in the 4 to 5, 6 to 8, in the case of Drake, the 6 range. And I ride them until they get to that conference tournament game, championship game, presuming they get there. And then at that point, you've got a pretty big underdog to win the championship at a big payout, 6 to 1 in the case of Drake.
Sure.
So what I would normally do is probably look to hedge and take the other side on the money line, depending on the spread. Okay. If that favorite is a short spread, I might bet them on the spread and take my chances there. But in all likelihood, I would lay the money line the other way in a minus 120, minus 150 range, and probably just enough to cover the initial principal or a little bit more of my bet on the heavy underdog.
Right, because you did that the other night. You had a 5-team money line parlay that you hit, actually, but you ended up hedging it a little bit. We talked through that, right?
Yeah, the hammer leg on that parlay the other night was Nevada and Air Force. So I had Nevada to close out the parlay for about 10 units. And what I did was just put a small bet down on Air Force at plus 900 in case they were to pull off the shock upset to make sure that I made some profit there.
That's how you do it, guys. Make some money. Keep making money. The SoCon title will be Monday on ESPN, 6 p.m. Central. The next one I've got is the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. Not as hotly contested. There's a bunch of teams kind of in the mix there. There's no great team in that league. Quinnipiac, Ryder, Siena, and Canisius at the top of that. They'll also play on Monday, 8 o'clock on ESPN2. I don't have any leanings in that one. I think I would root for Quinnipiac because I like that name.
Yeah, I haven't really been following much of the MAC this year, but I do know that Ryder has been getting trounced against the spread. They historically, or week in, week out, are favorites, and they fail to cover very often. So
keep that in mind. Fade Ryder. Another one is the Colonial Athletic Association. Now, there is a stud team in that league. That's Hofstra Pride. They've been the class of this division, and they've been kind of whooping up on this league. Northeastern and Charleston are their biggest competitors. That's Tuesday night, 6 o'clock Central. Don't have a televised place there. So I'm sure Hofstra is probably minus 400, minus 500 favorites in that one. The other league that I think is pretty competitive is the Horizon League. The Horizon League is the Wright State Raiders are up top with the Norse of Northern Kentucky. I just love that nickname.
Yeah.
They play Tuesday night if they make it all the way, and that'll be 6 o'clock on ESPN. You know, I'm sure Wright State is probably a little bit more plus money, right?
Yeah, so Wright State's plus 200, and Northern Kentucky are the favorite at plus 125.
Now, the Norse did get past your Detroit Mercy today. That was kind of a long shot with your big scorer guy.
Yeah, Antoine Davis did put up a 30-point game last night, but it wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough. So, all right, a couple more leagues we'll go through here. The NEC, Northeast Conference. Really, these are guys playing for the first four. You've got St. Francis of Pennsylvania that'll probably face off against either Fairleigh Dickinson, Robert Morris, or Sacred Heart. St. Francis is probably the favorite, but they actually kind of squeaked one out last night. Fairleigh Dickinson won a little more easily. So what do you got on that one?
No bets here for me, but you are spot on. St. Francis is the favorite in this one, plus 120, and Fairleigh Dickinson at plus 220.
That's right. I'll probably stay away from that one, but it's fun to watch some of those teams, you know, duke it out. They're really competing. That's ESPN2 on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock Central. You got the Summit League. This is one of my favorite mascots of all time, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. They're definitely the favorites in this league. They've been to the dance 4 of the last 5 years. Mike Dom is a top scorer in this league. They might face off against Nebraska-Omaha. I guess that would be the team. Mm-hmm. Tuesday at 8 o'clock Central on ESPN2. What's the totals on this? So, okay, minus 220 for the Jackrabbits, and then plus 700, all right, for Nebraska-Omaha.
Yeah, I mean, it might be too late to find that number, but I certainly think there may be a small value in taking the Nebraska-Omaha team. They have a pretty high-scoring offense, and mm-hmm. their defense isn't much to write home about, which is a problem when you're facing off versus the Dominator. But the Dominator. Nebraska-Omaha might have a chance, and if they pull off a shock upset in that championship, that'd be a nice payday.
Absolutely. All right, quickly over the West Coast Conference. This is obviously not a small conference, but we know the Zags are heavy favorites in this one. Do you think there's any chance St. Mary's or San Francisco or anybody, maybe BYU, could knock off this team? That's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Central on ESPN.
No, I don't think so.
Stay away from that.
Gonzaga are heavy, heavy favorites, minus 850 to take home the title.
And the next one's plus 835 is the next one up. The last one I have is the Patriot League. They play on Wednesday night. This is actually some pretty good teams in this league. Bucknell's, they've been to the dance 2 straight years. Colgate's right there with them. And don't forget Lehigh. Lehigh beat Duke a few years back. So those are the three teams I've got. It's probably going to be Bucknell against Colgate. Again, Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Central on the CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, Colgate is the favorite in this league at minus money, minus 130, and Bucknell coming in at plus 185. I did hear some rumblings about this American team, plus 1150
American Eagles,
as the 4 seed. However, they got a tough matchup in the first round against Navy just to get out of that first round.
I might look at Bucknell at plus money here. The team's seasoned. I mean, they've been to the tournament over and over, and they were the favorite most of this league, but I guess they faltered a little bit down the stretch. Maybe they have an injury.
Yeah, and they are the defending champions. Remember, this Bucknell team was in the NCAA tournament last year. So
that's right. All right, well, that's our kind of small tournament overview for now. There's actually a bunch next week, too. We'll try to touch on it when we can, but we'll definitely go over the big conference tournaments if we get a chance next Thursday.
Yep.
What spots are you eyeing in some of the bigger games from this weekend?
Well, the first one that I've picked out is the Minnesota Golden Gophers on a Friday night special in the Big Ten, going on the road to Maryland. And this is a revenge spot for Minnesota, which lost to Maryland at home earlier in the season by 15 as a 2-point favorite. They got thoroughly dominated on the glass in that game, 39-24. But they've been improving in that department recently, and I expect Murphy and the other bigs on the Minnesota team to hold their own this time around.
All right.
Anthony Cowan, the guard for Maryland, did go off in the first game for 27 points, but I think it's unlikely he'll have that repeat performance. His shooting has been slumping recently, and he's only shooting 30% from the three-point line over the last 7 games. And on the flip side, Amir Coffey for Minnesota has been balling out.
Yeah, he's
31 and 32 in the last 2 games. Against Northwestern and Purdue, and they got a big win on Tuesday night against Purdue, which probably put them in the field, I imagine. But they'll be looking to lock it up with a win at Maryland, and I think they'll be able to keep this within the number, plus 7.
Yeah, I agree with you. Minnesota's playing a little bit better. I don't know, they're not great on the road, but Maryland's not exactly dominant at home either. I got them at 4-3 at home against the spread in their last 7. Besides Bruno, well, you know, we love Bruno. Coffey is the man, dude. This guy is balling, and he looks like he's trying to play for an NBA contract, too, right now. So I like to see him get to play in the tournament. All right, the next game you've got is back to the Arch Madness. Bradley versus Missouri State. Missouri State is a 1-point favorite. You got the total at 127. You're thinking under, so it's not going to be a light show in that one.
No, this is probably one of my favorite picks of the weekend. Was eyeballing this spot from a mile away. You've got not only the neutral court venue, it's an earlier start time, which these kids are not going to be ready for.
Right.
And it's an Arch Madness MVC game, which historically has lower scoring games as well.
Big stadiums.
It opened up at 127, which I jumped on a little bit earlier this afternoon, but I think it's down to 125. Mm. I would still play it at 125 and probably even down to 124.
Ooh.
The last time these two teams faced off, they scored a total of 92 points.
Oh, my God. I think I remember that.
So, I mean, they play extremely slow pace.
Is there a shot clock in this game?
291 and 282 in pace in Division One, and both of them are in the bottom half on the offensive efficiency metrics. So Missouri State 13-5 to the under in their conference games this season, and Bradley was not too far away at 11-7. I really love this under, and I'm probably going to be looking to add the first half as well, hoping I can squeak out something near 60.
Gotcha. Now this game is tomorrow night. More Friday night action. No, wait.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Friday night action. Okay. Another game we both like is Duke at North Carolina. This is, you know, Duke, North Carolina, take two. Right now, we're penciling in North Carolina's 3.5-point favorites at home, the total being 167. This is a Saturday night game. The issue is we don't really know if Zion's going to play. Mm-hmm. It's likely he will not play. So either way, I like North Carolina in this game. I know you're on that with me as well. I think if Zion comes back, they're going to play better, but I don't know if he's going to be full strength and full speed. And this Carolina team is balling. Now, they're not playing great at home. I told you how good they are on the road against the spread, but at home they're usually not. So I'm kind of hoping Zion plays, so then maybe they actually get plus.
You know, that would be nice.
Plus points at home. What do you got in this game?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I did read that Coach K came out and announced that Zion is unlikely to play Saturday. Okay. Although knowing how college basketball goes and their rules in terms of injuries, it wouldn't shock me to see him out there during warmups.
Right.
But either way, I agree with you. I'm on North Carolina. My buy point here is probably 3.5 or 4. Anything north of that, I'm likely not going to lay those points. But if I can get this thing at 3.5, I'll definitely get in on North Carolina. Without Zion, they're going to have a huge edge on the backboards. They out-rebounded them in the first game 45-37, and they scored nearly all of their points in the paint, which I know you and I talked about last time.
That's right.
Luke May was huge in that game, and then another senior, Cam Johnson, has been on fire lately, scoring 21 points per game over the last six, including 26 in that game against Duke.
Yeah, I think May had 20 rebounds the other night in this game. He's playing great. The other angle in this one is we're looking at the under, your total at 167, which is crazy high. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a little bit, that Duke really hasn't been hitting the numbers lately. Early in the season, they were catastrophically high, and now they're kind of lowering, but they still haven't caught up. 167 is a big number. Last time they played, it was 88-72. That wouldn't get there. So you're on that as well, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to be running to the window for this one. I've thought a lot about it because I know that I've hammered home on this podcast how Duke is an under team. And the odds makers keep opening their totals crazy high. But I think a large part of the reason why the game stayed under last time is because North Carolina had such a significant lead.
It was a blowout, yeah.
And in this case, I'm guessing it's going to be closer. So I'm probably not going to be playing that game unless it gets a crazy high number.
Okay. Another game you've noted is Villanova's at Seton Hall. Seton Hall, you're saying on Saturday, would get 2 points at home, the total being 138. I'm going to guess that your handicap is that Villanova's not playing very well, and Seton Hall is still fighting out for a tournament slot, and that makes sense to me. What else do you see in that one?
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. This is pure fate of Villanova and their three-chucking offense. The Seton Hall team also has revenge on their minds as they got beat 80-52 in January in Villanova. And in that game, Villanova shot 17 of 42 from the three-point line, 40%, which aided them to their victory. And I'm looking at their numbers, and their three-point shooting has been on the decline lately. Over the last six games, they're only averaging about 31% from the three-point line, which is not horrible, but it's been one of their strengths all year long. And if they're not making threes, advantage Seton Hall in this one, not to mention they're playing for their tournament lives.
That's right. Well, that three or four shots that they're not making from like the last time, that's a difference in a ball game right there. Another spot is Texas Tech at Iowa State. Iowa State is getting 2 points at home, at least that's how we're measuring it, total of 137. We do have to know if Shaq's going to play or not. This number could change. Now, Texas Tech hasn't won at Iowa State in forever. I do like Texas Tech in this game, but It is going to depend on what this number is going to be at.
Yeah, without a doubt. I posted this on here before I knew about the Shayok injury, and it does scare me off of it a little bit, depending on his availability. But as you mentioned, the spot just lines up wonderfully for Iowa State. Mm-hmm. They've been playing poorly, and I think that you're really going to end up getting a buy low on Iowa State. I've got it here as +2, but I wouldn't be shocked to see it even a higher number on Saturday.
Yeah, if it goes too high, if it goes maybe +4 or +5, I would stay away from Texas Tech and shift over to Iowa State, like you said. Although they did get crushed at West Virginia last night.
Yeah.
The spot that I like is DePaul at Creighton. Creighton's 6.5-point favorites, or we're estimating at home. This is, again, on Saturday. But I'm looking at the over here. The total we're guessing at 153. And these two teams basically don't play defense. I've got the Blue Demons scored 100 points last night. And they're 168th in defense. And Creighton's 99th in defense. So hopefully the total is around this 150, 153. I would definitely go over in that one.
Yeah, Broccoli Bob actually went to the game last night and was texting me, Max Strews. Man, this Max Strews. And, well, I watched a little bit too, and man, he was on fire last night. The DePaul Blue Demons were just filling it up, and I agree with you. Creighton likes to run as well, and I agree this game is probably going to go over. I think I would take a look at DePaul in this one too, depending on the number.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay, well, let's touch on the NBA nugget that you've got. You've got a little note about underdogs since the All-Star break.
Yeah, something popped into my conscious in my Twitter feed that the underdogs in the NBA are 41-42 straight up since the All-Star break, and a paltry 55-27-1 against the spread. So if you had been betting the underdogs as a $100 better on the money line, you'd be up over $5,000 right now since the break.
Wow, that's getting it done, people.
Yeah, 50 units.
50 units. Okay, well, then you also got a little touch on MLS soccer for us and maybe Champions League, right?
Yeah, so the first game I picked out is the Chicago Fire hosting Orlando on Saturday in the Windy City. And they're opening up the newly named SeatGeek Stadium and trying to bounce back from a opening 2-1 loss to the LA Galaxy. This Orlando team is probably one of the poorest teams in the league. They did sign the Portuguese winger Nani in the offseason, which will bring a little bit of firepower to their offense, but they were horrible last year, and they didn't do much else outside of that to improve their squad. So I'm looking to back Bastian Schweinsteiger and Nikolic and the Fire at -125 this Saturday.
But you have a note here that you skipped. It talks about the debut of a Polish attacker. I would like for you to pronounce that name.
Przemysław Frankowski. Of course.
The Pole, yeah. I mean, whatever. The guy doesn't have a vowel in that first name about it. So. It's awesome. Okay, so you said that you like playing the Fire at the 125. That's a money line?
Yeah, so that would be the Fire on the three-way money line to win the game.
Yep. Okay, gotcha. You also have a Champions League. That's from, next Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah, so another competition that I really like betting is this CONCACAF Champions League.
Okay.
And we haven't talked about it here on the show, but it's similar to the European Champions League, except that it's in Central and North America. And you have the MLS teams, the Mexican teams, the champions from Costa Rica, Honduras, Guatemala, and even little Belize that compete in this tournament.
Okay.
And the angle that I usually look in these games is to go over the totals, because you'll often see the Mexican teams or the MLS teams beat the Minnows 5 or 6-0. Wow. Crazy high numbers.
Okay.
And however, this part of the season, we're into the quarterfinals, so there's a lot of the big boys left. Mm-hmm. And one game I'm looking at next week is Monterrey and Atlanta United. Last night, Atlanta had to go on the road to Mexico, and they lost 3-0 in the opening leg of this two-legged tie. And next week, Monterrey will be coming into Atlanta to close out the tie. And I think that the Atlanta team is going to have to run and gun to try to make up this 3-goal difference.
Right, and they were a high-scoring team anyway last
year. Exactly, spot on. Joseph Martinez was the highest scorer in the league last year, and I think that this game is poised for a ton of goals, and I'm expecting to see a total of 3, which I'll take over gladly.
Okay. Maybe I'll make a bet on that one. You need to make some money somewhere else.
I'll have to remind you next Wednesday night.
Exactly. All right, let's do our head-to-head segment. We'll start off, it's really all college basketball this week, shocker. We'll start off with Texas Tech at Iowa State. Now, we're not going to do the side. We've kind of talked about that already. But we're kind of slating the total at 137. I like the under in this one. Now, Iowa State is a really high-scoring team. Texas Tech is, you know, they've been scoring the ball a lot better lately. However, Texas Tech is such a good defensive team, and I'm basically banking that Shaq's not going to play here. And so Iowa State will struggle against that defense, and Texas Tech will kind of just grind the game down and keep it below that 137. Why do you like the over?
Well, you're spot on. Texas Tech has the number one rated defense in the NCAA, number one defensive field goal percentage as well. But this Iowa State team has been filling it up, and Hilton Magic really just brings something out of them at home, especially against Texas Tech. And I think the bigger part of the handicap here is really that Red Raider offense has been improving lately. Jared Culver has been awesome, and some of those shooting guards, Moretti in particular, is starting to shoot it better from the three-point line. And even though I think that Texas Tech may end up running away with it, I expect that it might tick over that total as a close game with some late free throws.
Okay. Good handicap. The next one is Houston at Cincinnati. This is a battle of the AAC, possibly the championship. Obviously, Cincinnati has to survive Taco tonight. But so Houston's traveling to Cincinnati. We're rating this as a pick 'em. Why do you like Cincinnati?
Well, I'm going with the home team here. I think this is probably a little bit of a contrarian play for me. I expect that the public is going to be all over the Houston team with their gaudy record.
That's right.
But the Cincinnati team plays some pretty legit defense in their own right, 21st in defensive efficiency. And their offensive rebounding numbers are jump off the page to 37% offensive rebounding, which is good for fifth in the nation. So they're going to be at home, and I think that they're going to be tough to beat on their home floor. So I like them here in a pick 'em game.
Okay. I'm just looking at my metrics. You know, I'm looking that Houston is 5-2 against the number in their last seven. Cincinnati is 2-4 at home against the number. So if it's pick 'em, I'll definitely take Houston. I think they are the better team. They have struggled a little bit lately. They were, you know, rocking and rolling early in this conference, and Cincinnati can grind this game to a halt. But I do like Houston to win this game, especially if it's straight up like this. Next one is Michigan at Michigan State. This is a rematch. We picked this a couple weeks ago. We're rating that Michigan State will be a four-point favorite at home. Who do you like in this one, Nash?
Well, I'm flipping sides, and I'm taking the home team, Michigan State, here in this one. We had a hard time lining this game as well, but I think four is probably pretty good. And this comes down to Cassius Winston. I watched him play at Indiana on Saturday, and the kid was just incredible, making dime passes and scoring all over the place. And really, I think that even without Nick Ward, a couple of the other big guys have been stepping up for them as well. Kenny Goins, who's been shooting it lights out from three, and Xavier Tillman, too, has been playing well on the inside in Ward's absence. So Michigan did look good the other night against Maryland, but I think they're going to come crashing down to earth as Michigan State tries to lock up that number one seed in the tournament on Saturday.
Okay, this is definitely a grudge match. I do like Michigan for two reasons. One, I think Beilein is going to figure out what Michigan State was doing the first time around. Michigan State severely limited Michigan's offense, especially Xavier Simpson and Iggy Brazdeikis. So the way I see it is they're going to create some schemes to basically break this Michigan State offense, one. And then secondly, it looks like, even though I don't like him, Xavier Simpson has come up with that little jump hook. If he can create any offense for this team, they're going to be able to beat Michigan State. He was so bad in that first matchup. And I do think Winston's definitely the player of the year in the Big Ten. But I think that push comes to shove, Michigan's going to play this game tight, and 4 points is just, it's just too much. I think Michigan might win it outright, of course, but 4 points is too much.
It's going to be must-watch TV on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Our last one, we're going to go to the Big South, the championship game. We kind of alluded to it earlier. Radford's going to play at Campbell. I know you like Campbell. I'm going to talk about Radford. Radford's been the class of this division and this conference all year. Campbell made a late run and has beaten this team twice, so it's hard to pick them, especially on the road, but I think Radford's going to find their stride in this tournament. They're going to figure out a way to slow down Clemens enough to get this win. It's going to be a close one. It's a pick 'em. That's what we rated it, so I'm just looking at a last-second buzzer beater for Radford.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, we're projecting these two teams will face off on Sunday in mm-hmm. the final. So if for some reason it doesn't happen, then we'll call it no action.
No action. Right.
But I'm going to be fighting with Chris Clements and the Campbell.
Camels.
Of course. No, this team has beat them twice already this year. And this is another point that just popped in my head. This time of the year, you'll hear a lot of touts online who say that, well, it's really hard for a team to beat another team three times in one season.
And erroneous.
It's really difficult, but that's wrong. In the past few years, the team 2-0 has actually gone 3-0 about 60% of the time.
Right.
So I'm going to be fighting with Campbell and the Camels this weekend.
All right. Let's see it. It should be a great one. Okay, well, that wraps up the episode. We did hit the hour. We always do. Just to reiterate, we've got the events coming up a week from today, March 14th at Green Street Local. That'll be at 5 o'clock for the Big Ten Championship, you know, preview and big conference previews, conference tournament previews. The following week, we will be at the Four Shadows. That's on March 21st on Thursday at 10 a.m. That's up in Lakeview, 2758 North Ashland. Green Street Local is 130 South Green Street. And then finally, I'll have my little Sweet 16 party on Friday. We'll talk about that again another time. But that's the 29th of March on Friday at the Four Shadows. So any more plugs?
No, it's going to be a great week of college basketball, gambling, and a great month to follow. And just can't wait.
It'll be awesome. So follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right, we'll see you guys out there.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.